Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus, and it is a jam-packed Friday Form Focus. We've got Group 2 racing at the Valley, well, Group 2 in name, anyway, a field of six in the Australia Stakes, where we will be finding new winners. And also, it's a decent card at Sandown on the hillside tomorrow with a few interesting runners, not overly big fields, and Mick Sharkey is guaranteed. After last week, David Gately shot the lights out. There were a lot of SMSs about David Gately's performance, his strike rate. He actually declared he would tip six winners. He got to five, and it was all down to Isotope. So it did go pear-shaped in the end, but Gator the Guru had five. So, Sharky, no pressure on you. Welcome back to Friday Form Focus.
Michael Stephen Felgate, good morning to you, my brother. Do you know what? Do you know what I'll guarantee this week? Good times. That's what I'll guarantee. Good times, not bulk winners or the six or seven or anything. Let's face it, David Gately, he's right up there in that sort of upper echelon of form student guru type situations. Whereas I'm sort of in that swingman, journeyman type area, I reckon. You know, if I was an NBA player, I reckon I'd be on my ninth club if I was an NBA player.
Have you had an epiphany or something? This is not the Shark we're used to hearing, the uber confident, no one's going to touch me. Now you're actually declaring to everyone that, hey, look, Gator's got me.
You know I'm a realist, Michael. I don't know about got me. I think I've definitely got him in the, well, many stakes, basically most stakes, apart from marathon and form analysis sort of areas. I'm certainly... I'd be the best looking bloke doing form anywhere in Australia, I'd suggest.
Ooh. Mind you, there are a lot of form analysts out there who have furrowed and thinning brows, so hairline. So maybe that's the pressure that goes. Look, I'm
well that anyone's heard of.
Did you hear David Eustace earlier? Because while we're pumping
speaking
you
of
up,
eyebrows.
This is what sure, David had
very,
to say.
Really me on the radio as well. I don't.
He is. I'm going to have a crack at him.
I don't think he's much better, to be honest.
No, his strike rate's been average of late.
Yeah. At least I'm happy to admit it.
There you go. Well, it's good to hear that that Dave listens, but what was his best this week, just so I can put a pen through it?
Oh, no, I like it too. There's a little sneaky tonight at the Valley at about $12. Oh,
what is it?
It is in race number six or seven. It is race seven, the Big Easy.
The Big Easy.
Yeah, ran up very nicely last start. So,
okay.
All right, so give us a prediction.
Prove me wrong, Eustace. Prove me wrong.
I put it on Gator last week. I said, how many winners will you find for us? He came up with six. He got close with five. What number are you giving us, Shark?
Across both meetings?
You've got a couple of venues, yeah.
Yeah, let's go six across both meetings. I'm more confident at Sandown. I reckon we can win some money at Sandown.
I like that. Well, we are racing on the hillside. It is true. And we are looking for... What is that? What was that? Is that in your house?
Yeah, apparently we've got a grandfather clock now. It's literally hidden in the corner under a table. I did not know we had a grandfather clock. So there'll be a conversation with my wife after this show as to this new purchase that seems to have snuck its way in. But yeah, that was a half an hour dong. So, the next half an hour could be interesting. There's literally a grandfather clock in the corner. I'm going to send you a picture of this.
It's only 9:10, so it's gone off early. One man who doesn't go off early is Tim Bailey, and I'm keen to find out what the track looks like at the hillside tomorrow. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well, Michael.
Looking forward to getting back to hillside on the true. And we've got a warmish day today, not as warm as what was predicted. So how much water will you be putting on the track before tomorrow?
Yeah, we're putting on 10 mils today, Michael. 10 mils went on yesterday as well, so... Spot on. Look, if if we're racing today, it's absolutely perfect to go, ready to go now. So we're just sort of maintaining that, that position. So going sick this morning, 9.4, good four. As you said, rail true. First time in the true since Dipping Classic Day and first time on Hillside for 6 weeks. So it's in terrific order. And, you know, I think, you know, all the feedback from Dipping Classic Day was track raced, raced well. And I'd be very confident it'd race very similar tomorrow.
What conditions are we expecting tomorrow? How hot will it get?
Yeah, 27. So again, not, you know, the forecast earlier in the week looked a lot warmer. So 27 is just a nice, pleasant day. You know, I'll be here early in the morning. I'll come in about 5. There's, a, you know, the thought that I might chuck on a couple of bill in the morning. You know, again, look at that. Sometimes that forecast can change. It can heat up or whatever. So have it at that, as I said, 10 mil today. But having said that, we start watering early. So, you know, the front straight's basically watered already. So we've still got, you know, what, 27, 28 hours till race one. So, you know, luckily here with no training, I have the ability to turn the sprinklers on at 5 in the morning. And, yeah, that's sort of the backup plan for tomorrow.
Any wind predicted tomorrow? Is it going to be a still day?
Oh, yeah, 15-kilometre southerly, so a headwind in the front straight. So really shouldn't have too much influence on the meeting.
Where are we going for Bailey's best at Sandown tomorrow?
Look, Patrick Payne bought four out here on Tuesday morning, and I did it for Love Gallop with Widgie Turf. So if Widgie Turf runs half a race tonight, I did it for Love seemed to work very competitive with it. I think maybe wait for the last. And, yeah, no, it's at $6.50 or something. It's certainly back of odds.
Oh, it's a nice inside male tip there because the last looks one of the toughest of the day. So that's very good. I did it for Love. Paddy Payne in the last, the best from Tim Bailey. Good luck tomorrow, mate.
Thanks, Michael.
Tim Bailey joining us out there. So no excuses, perfect track conditions. The wind shouldn't play too much. Hey, Felgate, just got an SMS here. Why don't you just get the shark to talk about fishing and get Gator to text his tips through Lifestyle Radio with a profit. Win-win. That's from Pete.
That's pretty good, Pete. I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. Tides are a bit slow this weekend, though, Pete, so we're going to have to work hard for the whiting. Might be a weekend for the gummies, I think.
We've got one here. Anthony from Rowfields is having a little dip at Dave Eustace. He said he tipped Reserve Street as their best of the weekend. The Warwick-Nabil Cup at even money. It ran second last. Followed his best tip since then, and Sharky's spot on. He's no good. Now, like Dave Eustace, and I think
Dave. Now I know why he didn't want to talk to me in Magic Millions.
He's just had an unlucky run, which everyone can have. Stick that with him tonight. I think he's going to be coming good this weekend, Dave Eustace. As for the Shark, I can't be as confident. Let's get into the first race tomorrow at Sandown. And this is an interesting race. We spoke with JC Cummings yesterday about the Picarones. What's the strength of that first up win, do you think? Because it was visually impressive. Then the second horse comes out and was quite disappointing second up. So have you got any concern over the strength of Picarones, who is a $2.70 favourite in the first tomorrow, the form behind it?
Firstly, you've got to say it properly. Picarones. I think that's how you say it. I think you've got to roll that up. Picarones. You've got to say that. That's how we say it. I don't know, actually. I'm just assuming it's Spanish or Mexican. Probably isn't. Might be German. He was pretty green there in that race and got the job done. I'm not too worried about the crazy ladies defeat at her start following, because she looked, to me, she looked quite physically immature at Caulfield when we saw her in the yard there. So I wasn't really surprised that she didn't stand up at her second start. And I reckon, yeah, she's gone to the paddock. I'm just looking now at Racing Australia. So she's straight out to the paddock. She's a nice filly, but she needs a bit of time. So I'm not reading too much into her defeat as a form line through Picarones. I am with him here. It's not with a great deal of confidence that I'm with him. The exposed form's solid with those that were seen at the races, but the trial jump out form hasn't really blown me away from the debutants. So I'm just sort of defaulting to the top weight here. Shadow Heart's probably the best of those on debut. Good trial at Werribee and looks to have a turn of foot. That is always a big tick. And Jamie Carr rode in that trial and she obviously felt enough to stick with it on race day. So they're the two I'm most interested to see. Conceding that horses like Pounding and Tatsuro might improve with experience under their belt from some spring runs. But yeah, I think 1 and 5 are probably the key ways to go here, but I won't be betting.
You haven't mentioned Artorias. I thought he was really good behind a pretty smart horse. Green, hit the line well.
Yeah.
Out to 1,300, looks to suit. Bigger track.
Yeah, that's going to help him. His last 200 was really good. He'd sort of be sandwiched in between Picarrones and Shadow Heart. I would like to maybe have seen a little gear change. I just thought he was a little bit new until he got going that last 200 metres. The market loved him early. And then on race day, he was $3.10 out to $4.20. So we all get carried away with early market support sometimes, but often it's that race day market that really tells the story. I'll be watching that market closely tomorrow. If there's confidence around him, and you backed him last time, probably enough there to go again.
Well, he's already $7 into $4.40. So there is an early move for Artorias. Now, Picarrones, as you like to say, I've just
Googled. Have you been Googling?
It is a Peruvian dessert.
Oh, hello. Made. Does it involve custard?
No, it doesn't. It's
disappointing.
It sounds a bit strange. It's made with squash and sweet potato and deep fried like a donut.
That sounds very good. Have you ever had sweet potato brownies?
With syrup. No.
Oh, this is sounding really good. Come on. How hard does it look to make in terms of ingredients? Do we have to find anything particularly Peruvian? This might be something for
squash
shark and the sharkets
to make this
weekend. Sweet
potato doesn't sound Peruvian to me.
Well, these are donuts. Little, basically, it's donuts.
That's right. There's your little
Well, we
Peruvian
can't go wrong
donut
with donuts.
Tip. All right, Picarrones is the tip at 270, but maybe stay out of the first. Just eat a donut while it's on. Race number two, take out 1, Exeter. This looks a tricky race. Irish Butterfly, Henry Dwyer, was stiff last start. Altai Ranger, Johnny Sadler gave us a long-range tip for those who listened, the RSN listeners, when it won last start, and you got around about $10 as well. $5.50. Jimenez is at $6. Dunefield, $7. Ellis Park could be an interesting runner first up, which has done nothing since it won nicely on debut. Well, where do we go here, Sharky? Do you follow Irish Butterfly, who's into $3.80 after its unlucky run in what looks a really tricky race?
Insert Shark rant about benchmark 64 races on a Saturday here. And I'll keep mentioning this until they get rid of them. I feel like Homer Simpson on the Hunger Strike episode of The Simpsons when the Springfield isotopes were moving. I think they were moving to Albuquerque. Or that might be Bugs Bunny crossing over with The Simpsons. Anyway, he was protesting hard and no one was really paying any attention. So I feel like that's me at the moment on the Saturday Benchmark 64 rants. Limited interest here. I think there's a roughie at a big price that you could try that isn't hopeless. Mark Pegus has number 10, Gotta Love Jimmy, who back in October won its maiden at Swan Hill pretty well, returned at Geelong, was 480 out to 650, but got back in a race that was slow run and became a sprint home, and I actually didn't mind his work there from the back of the field. He needs a little bit of speed on here, but there looks to be enough on paper. I thought, given the lack of quality in this race, that Gotta Love Jimmy was more than capable of running a race at, I think he was $30-odd dollars when I had a look yesterday. Yeah, he's not the worst in this race.
$7 the place.
Yeah, so he's a 62 rater in a benchmark 64. And I know Exeter and Vladivostok and Monsters Inc. are beyond this grade in terms of the handicap ratings, but they've all got to give him weight. And he's only had 3 starts. There might be more to come. Exeter's the best horse in the race, says the weights. He just got into an awkward spot there at Flemington down the straight. I thought he would have hit the line a bit better than he did. I will say that. He's out? Okay.
Yep.
I must update my page. Irish Butterfly's got some issues. I don't really want to charge into a horse like that at the price. I'd rather have a spec at Gotta Love Jimmy, if I had to, in this race at a big, big price.
$31. Gotta Love Jimmy. $7 a place. Race number two, which looks one of the trickiest races on the program. Race number three, we take out the 8 here. Imperial Lad, Johnny Maloney's got a good team heading to Sandown tomorrow as the favourite at 340. Second slips at 360. Indispensable, who's looking for four in a row, 550. And then Triton Rising at 650. I'm not sure if you heard the chat I had with Will Clark in yesterday, but she gave a good push for second slip, who was really good first up. Got an SMS here saying, Sharky, can you, Michael, can you ask Sharky his thoughts of second slip? I backed it last start and it ran really quick time. Barry in Collingwood. Well, Barry, before I ask Sharky, have a listen to what Will Clarkin had to say about him yesterday.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse. He's got a lot of development as far as his race manners go. I think that he's a horse good enough to compete on a Saturday in Melbourne. I've made mistakes in the past where I've won a few races quite quickly in Adelaide with these sort of horses, and then we take them over, and they're most probably too high in the handicap ratings and maybe outweigh themselves. So I've decided that he's going super. He won well first up. His gallop was great on Tuesday. He goes over there and he gets in on the minimum or thereabouts, and I think that definitely gives him a strong winning chance in the race.
So this is the ex-Kiwi galloper that's had one start in Australia over in South Australia. Murray Bridge won really well over there. It's $3.60, Sharky. Are you a second slipman?
I am a second slipman. I thought he and Kingshear were the two in this race. Kingshear's out, obviously. Second slip. Look, the money was on at a big price, or a price that it shouldn't have been, $12 in the early markets. He firmed up in those early markets and then kind of held his price near a race time. So I think they were just sort of taking the incorrect odds rather than plunging the horse. He was $5.50 out of $7 on race day. So it sort of evened out again if you missed that 12s to 5s. I think 360 is a fair price in this race. He chased a pretty strong speed there at Murray Bridge and came off the backs of the leader and ran past them. And then, look, the others were probably entitled to chase him down. They weren't able to. He gets weight relief here and a gate which allows Jamie Carr to come across and be in that sort of first three or four position again, where in a race where there's, you know, genuine speed without it being breakneck. So I think he gets in and gets across and gets a solid run. Some of these are like Indispensable's building a little picket fence. He's going well enough. Run to perfection's got all the ability, but none of the application in three runs. Well, you can't back him. You can't back him now until you see him actually do it on race day. He's got earmuffs on. I don't know what earmuffs are going to do. He seems not want to try at the moment. Might need gelding, I'd suggest. Imperial Lad's on us. Seberates, Torgerson, buh. You know, so I think he is entitled to be favourite in this race, second slip. I'm pretty confident he can go and win again.
Yeah, I think it's a good race. He's the one on the up, isn't he? I'll tell you, Imperial Lad was strong at the end last start. I was impressed with how he found the line. He'll get a nice run from gate one.
Yeah, he will. I think I've got a feeling the plums came out before this preparation from Imperial Lad, and it seemed to have an effect because he was right there, bang on speed, and really genuine and strong over that last 200 metres. He's always sort of hinted at Saturday grade ability, but probably hasn't got there and has been a little disappointing. I know it was only a 64 that he won at Sandown, but I saw enough there to think he'd be able to go and graduate to a 70 and probably get to a 78 and be that sort of grade off-season for a little while.
So it's a bet? Second slip, take the 360?
We're betting there.
All right, one of the best of the day. Second slip, $3.60 SMS. I'll take Shark over Gator purely for his Simpsons quotes. So one of our listeners is happy with your work, Shark. I had to sift through a few to get to that one, but anyway. Race number four.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
At Sandown tomorrow. Again, this is a smallish field. This is over the 24. Nelson is out. WT, who ran home really nicely behind the stablemate Defibrillate, looks like the 2400 will suit. I think he's on target for a Launceston Cup. Mosh Music came for that same race, is at 370. Bartholomew Diaz, as Dave Eustace said, you've got to try and catch him on his days at 380. Stars of Carrum, 550, and then we're down to St. Eustace at $9, and even Dukon at $12. So really, Diamonds and Bubbles is the only one not given a chance in this smallish field, Sharky. So it could be a tricky race with this small field. How do you see it being run? Will there be any speed in the race?
There's not a great deal from what I can see. Dukon probably goes forward. Do they be more positive on Stars of Karam? He was sort of thereabouts last start. This is a trappy race. WT, you're backing him off one good run, and that was his last start where he followed the stablemate and winner through. It was a good run, but not exactly, you know, jumping out of my seat to go and back him, nor am I jumping out of my seat to back Mosh Music. Jump outs have been good.
How's
three
she
runs,
going?
I don't know. Three runs this prep have been so. The Lord Stakes run was her best run this time round. I thought she was entitled to do a bit more there at Flemington last start, and she didn't. I don't really want to back either of those. Dukon, you can have him. Bartholomew Diaz is half a banana. I've landed on Stars of Karam. There was really good market support for him late last start. He was $13 into $6.50, which tells you that the horse is going well. He was second up for Moody. He ran a nice race. He was only just nutted for third on the line in that race, and he was second up. You'd think there'd be some more improvement there. He's drawn well. If intent of last start is anything to go by, they'll be positive early with the lack of speed in this race. I just thought he might be worth following up. Usually that sort of market support is justified, if not on, you know, in the race where they're backed, in a race soon after. You've got to follow it sometimes. You've got to follow those horses for one or two starts if they're beaten. I think in this field, Stars of Karam at his best is more than capable of winning. I'd rather...
He's still only won one from 24, Sharky.
Yeah, but that's the sort of race this is. Like, I know some of these have won more races, but at the moment they don't look like winning anything. They're just sort of staying on, all running together, having a good time. I'll just give Moody the benefit of the doubt one more time with Stars of Karam.
Oh, gee. $5.50. You're backing him on the nose?
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm not backing him. I've got him on top. I don't know if I want to bet in this race. I like sort of weird stuff, but I don't know if that involves betting in the Clambrook Racing Handicap on Saturday. No disrespect to Clambrook Racing, but they've copped a crook race here to sponsor.
Well, you've got to have a crack. So, Stars of Karam?
Yeah, go on, Stars of Karam.
All right, okay.
I know, you're desperate. This is what I love about you. It's that you just get that look in your eye, you get itchy, you know, second slip will probably win the previous race, you'll have a bit of money there, and It's 2 o'clock,
God.
By the way. It's 2 o'clock.
Can you throw that out the window? These are the best sound effects we've ever had on Racing Post.
Ding, dang, dong. The shark goes
right.
Bong.
SMSs are coming,
Stars
coming
of
through. All right. Gator is
If anyone knows how to turn off a grandfather clock, let me know.
Gee whiz. Gator is the Frank Grimes of the punting world.
Yeah, he is. He's so does, Frank Grimes.
Does look like that.
That makes me the Homer.
I'll take Shark over Gator, pastry over pasty, jeez, Frank the Baker. Now, this is not turning into an us against them, because the Gator is a genius and so is the Shark. So it's not one or the other. As that famous ad says, why can't we have both? So
yeah, exactly.
We love both Gator.
We'd be the little taco girl and have both.
Exactly.
The last time we went head-to-head, it didn't end up well for Gator. I think it was on the Great Game podcast series and on the racing trivia quiz each week. I think I was 13-0 in front.
But hang on. The Great Game, that was, what, 13, 14 years ago now? How long ago was it since we had that?
It wasn't that long ago. We're still on an extended hiatus. It's like when Blur split up. They didn't technically split up. They just went on hiatus.
Blur. Oh, my God.
Yeah, one of the great bands. The Britpop band of the 90s.
What was their best song?
They've got albums, loads of them, Michael. Look, we need to educate you. Boys and Girls, you'd know.
Yes, I do know Boys and Girls.
Country House.
Oh, okay.
Song 2.
Yeah, no, this is the best song. I like this SMS that's come through. Why don't we just have Gator and Shark and get rid of Felgate?
Somebody's got to steer the ship, and I could not be trusted to do that.
Hey, now we're going to take our second slip money, and Well, while we might have a little bit of a play in race number four, I think a lot of people might be rolling that into Quantum Mechanic in race number five. Mick Price was pretty keen earlier this morning. It was a bit of a horror watch last start, with Jamie Carr not being able to get out until a little later. But I tell you what, it's getting in really tight in the market now. It's into $2.30, Shark. Do you like the Mechanic tomorrow?
Yes, I've been waiting for her to get to a mile and to come back against her own sex. All the stars align here. There's enough speed. 5, 1, 11, 9, they all sort of roll forward. I reckon the big roomy track at Hillside is just right up Quantum Mechanics alley. The price is the... Oh, gee, she's short enough at 2.30. She's short enough there. I will say that. But I do think she'll win. It's not a bad race away from her. Intellective's come back in pretty good form this prep. And she's starting to realise that early potential that I think Maddie Williams has always thought she had. It was a really good win last time. Sat up on that speed and then just kicked into gear late and had them well and truly covered. Prism won since. And the great one, who was third in that race, won last night. So there's really good winning form around Intellective. I would be surprised if the market didn't find her on race day, and we got a bit of a correction in price there between Intellective and Quantum Mechanic. Galgani's the other one. Good prep. Cranbourne win good. Strong last time behind Zach DeBoss.
I had a chat to Matty Williams yesterday, and he also looks after Quantum Mechanic down at Warrnambool for the Price Kent stable, and he basically conceded that after Quantum Mechanics' work on Tuesday, Intellective can't beat it. It would need to have all the luck to beat it. He suggested maybe take a Quinella, but Quantum Mechanic is, in his mind, the horse to beat.
Yeah, I think she's the horse to beat, but I think Maddie's underselling Intellective to a degree. She's not bad, and she's going really well at the moment. So I think if you play a win bet Quantum Mechanic, the way I'll probably play the race is win bet her and then play that exacta 1 and 2 boxed up for a few units. That might be a way to get a quid out of the race. Matty Williams was cooking doing some beautiful work in the kitchen too during this week. Do you see his ribs? He was smoking some ribs on the barbecue.
Smoking some ribs, I saw that. Absolutely.
Still waiting to hear how they went. They look good.
We'll see today. Hey, Mark Hunter, yesterday gave a really good push for Cansino at a good price. Fabe used to said it's got a good chance as well. I thought it ran on quite well in a day that you couldn't make ground last start. Do you give Cansino any hope?
It's got some hope to run a place. I'd be surprised if it was able to beat Quantum Mechanic, all things being equal in the run.
All right, so what do we do with Quantum Mechanic? Do you wait and hope that 2.30 gets out, or will it just continue to tumble in, do you think?
I don't know if it'll keep firming up. I think at some point the market sort of has a look and says, well, there's a horse here that just beat two next start winners that's 2 for 2 this prep, and there's some others, depending on how the track's playing, that might get a little bit of support, like a Galgani. I don't think she gets any shorter than 2.30. It's kind of rock bottom as far as I'm concerned, but if she holds around that price or gets a little better on race day, I'm happy to play that. I do think she'll win.
All right, so Quantum Mechanic, that could be the final bank builder because race number 6, the first leg of the quaddie. It looks a reasonably open quaddie at Sandown tomorrow, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, it'll be the quaddie at Sandown Hillside, and the Shark will also give us his selections, the best at the Valley tonight. And a couple of SMSs are asking, we want an out-wide multi as well, Sharky. We need some Friday love. So okay, do your form, text all your contacts, and we'll get that on the other side of this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. A few SMSs coming through here about your love of Blur, Sharky. Not Blur, try Oasis instead from one of our listeners. And another one
Oasis
said,
were good. Well, Oasis were good, but said, where are they now? Blur's still churning out. Go on.
Oasis. I was going to say, is Oasis, they're not even together, are they?
No.
The best Blur song is The Universal. Best Blur.
Oh, Universal, great song. Great song. Say, Park Life's good.
He'd have known that.
Well, real fan. I'm working on having the lyrics of Tender applied to my body permanently, so let's just not talk about real fan sort of stuff. But they are one of the enduring bands of our generation, Michael. I reckon their first album must have been around 1993, 1994, Park Life, and they're still... The Magic Whip came out about, I reckon, 3 or 4 years ago, because that was their last tour in Australia, and I went along to that, and they're just great. They're such a great band. Damien Albarn is a freak. Genius musician.
You're going to tattoo some of the lyrics on your body.
Oh, it's a beautiful song. Tender. You've never heard Tender? Oh,
whereabouts would you have these lyrics tattooed?
Probably somewhere that they'd fit. I don't know. Not sure where.
The back of your
I haven't even exactly got massive biceps, so it's probably either on my back or on my side somewhere. Don't know.
How many tattoos have you got now, Sharon?
Got about six, I think. Here's Tender. What a tune. Yeah, I'm looking to get the Prince Love symbol on my arm this year. I think it's the year for a bit of Prince ink.
Any Dusty Martin neck action planned?
No, no neck action. I grew up in Dandenong, Michael, but I'm not a complete bogan.
What about, have you got your beautiful wife's name tattooed somewhere?
Yeah, got her initials on my arm. Yeah, on the Old Man and the Sea inspired Marlin etched in the boat. I've got all the girls' initials tattooed on me somewhere.
What about Gareth Hall, who is one of our family
Gareth Hall's initials? No, I haven't got them.
He finally got down on one knee and proposed to his beautiful wife, Dana. So they are.
What did she say?
His beautiful fiance. She said yes, remarkably. She must
have. Wow.
So do you think
there is hope.
Maybe get a tattoo?
Definitely. I'm seeing something traditional for G. I reckon the old love heart with Dana's initials in the middle with the arrow through, just on the on the left buttock, I reckon. I think that's beautiful for G.
Well, we'll put that to him. All right.
So that's the reason he lost all that weight then, obviously, because I saw him the other day, and I know COVID was tough on some people, but boy, he looked like... Wow. No, he certainly lost a bit of weight. And now now that she said yes, we can expect him to put it back on at rapid pace.
After the wedding, he'll balloon right back out again. He'll pull the ripcord.
God love him.
Let's get into race number one of the quaddy, or the first leg of the quaddy, I should say, at Sandown tomorrow. New Orleans is a favourite here at $3.50, Milton Park $4.60, Bella Tiara is at $4.80. Now, the boom on New Orleans after his first win was that we had the next superstar. What do you make of his run at Sandown?
Average. He's still learning a bit about the caper, but when they came to him, he... took a while just to sort of click into fight mode and put the head down and really tough it out. That's the concern I have. Look, he may well be a nice horse, but is he a steely, hardened competitor at the moment? Maybe not. So I think we can take a little risk with him at the moment. It's not a race that I'm overly keen to bet in, Miguel. I think the other Matty Williams runner of the day, Bell Tiara, seems to be putting a little bit together at the moment. Last 200, last start, 11.34, was nearly top 10 for the day. I thought that was pretty solid. She will get back, and she's drawn inside. That is my concern. And although there's a few here that like to race on speed, I just don't know if they're going to be really chopping at each other and making it a genuine run race. She needs to, or rather Dean Yendall, needs to start tagging up behind them and looking for a gap as they turn in. If she's within three lengths of the leaders at about the 3.50, she can quicken up and be there in the finish. I think she's the top pick. Milton Park was good first up. He's in there. Duke of Orleans, New Orleans is in there. The rest of them are just tagging along at the moment, I think. Miss Divine M to 1400's interesting, but I want to see her prove herself at the distance before backing her at it.
Well, let's see what Johnny Maloney thinks of Milton Park, who joins us now. He's got a good hand tomorrow at Sandown. And, gee, your horses are in form at the moment, John. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm good, thanks, Michael. Yeah, really good.
It looks a nice race for Milton Park tomorrow. Where do you see him sitting in a run? Will he go forward and sit up outside the lead?
He possibly will. Look, it's Damien's call, how he feels.
and he's got good gate speed. He gets out nicely, so he can get into a good spot from the gate start, so that's okay. Yeah,
sure. Johnny, looked like a horse last time around that would probably be take benefit from a little break into 2021, and that first up win probably confirms that. What distance do you reckon he's going to be at his best at?
Yeah, I think he'll enjoy a mile. Definitely enjoy a mile. Would he like it longer? I don't know, but he will enjoy a mile. No problem on that. So, but, you know, his second up, 1400, that's okay. Keep looking at him after that.
You got a couple of nice chances throughout the day. Imperial Lad goes around in good form. You've got Sunday Prane. You've got Fine Day in the last. Imperial Lad from Gate 1 looks like it'll get a nice run as well.
He should do, Michael. He does get on speed. Actually don't find him outside a horse and inside him, so I don't know how that sets up, but because he does, he'll relax a little more if he's outside a horse and inside one, so I just have to see how that works out from the gate start, but because he can get a little keen to go, but he's probably going to be a better horse this time around as a gelding anyway.
Now, John, I can't ask Michael to ask this because, you know, he is a degenerate punter, but you've got one today at Mornington, Black Opal in race 7. Are we having a little lash at that just to set us up for the weekend?
Well, he's in the right race, Sharky, Black Opal. So Shane, my man in the stables, he told me he couldn't believe he's $2.20, though. I don't know what that means. But anyway, he should be able to run well.
Well, you can get to 280 now, so is that backable price?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think he was looking for $3, put it that way.
Yeah. All right, John. Well, we'll take Black Opal all up into the best tomorrow. Who's that?
I think you wait to the last look to find Dane. I think he's well set up for Sandown. He's had one run at the 1,000 out there, and he's run well at that. I think he's a good chance tomorrow.
Well, you've just won a lucky door prize as well while you've been on air. Best of luck over the weekend, John.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Sure.
Fine Dane's $10. So there you go, punters, in the last race. All right, Sharky, first leg of the quaddy, what are your numbers? Who are we putting in?
1, 2, 4, and 7.
1, 2, 4, and 7 in the first leg of the quaddy. Mm. 1, Milton Park, 4, Bella Tiara. 2, which is Mr. Vine End. But no Pig in Mud. What's going on there? 1, 2, 4, 7.
I don't think he's very good.
All right. Well, that's nice and blunt.
And who calls a horse Pig in Mud, by the way? Who names a horse Pig in Mud? Come on.
Well, Sam Friedman and his mates are the owners of that. So we'll have to ask Sam what the backstory is. We've got to get moving here, Sharky, because I want your valley tips as well. Sandown, the second leg of the quaddies, the benchmark, AE4 over 1,500. Grinzinger Ali's been well backed into $2.60. Unlucky last start. Caffrey, Honest at Flemington, fundraiser through that race. Rule the World's been racing honestly as well. How many in this leg of the quaddie do we need, Sharky? And is Grinzinger Ali one of these potential good bets on the program?
I think he is. I'm only putting 2 in this leg of the quaddy, but I expect Grinzinger Ali to be winning on the face value of his very, very good first up run at Caulfield. Look, he's only up 100 metres, but that's okay because I think we're still working out what this fellow is, whether he's a miler or a 2,000 metre plus horse. He should have won that race at Caulfield. Just no fault of Damien Oliver's. He just found traffic and the horse was drawn inside where a style like he has, he probably needed to be out a little bit wider where he could sort of get moving and flow into a race. It showed us that he's come back in really good form. I think this is the right sort of level for him at this time of year to get some wins on the board and build some confidence. I think he'll be winning this. Jamie Carr should get a beaut run from barrier 4 in a race where, look, let's be blunt, Aloft, Numia and Goodwood Zodiac probably can't win. Rule the World on the backup, be thereabouts. He's tough. He's in the game. Fundraiser needs to step up to another level. Caffrey, can he come from behind Grinzinger Ali and beat him? I don't think so. I'm with Grinzinger Ali. I think he's the horse to beat. Holbein is the other one that goes in the quaddy at 1 and 5 only.
1-5 only. You're still bagging fundraiser, even though all it does is win.
No, I don't mind fundraiser. He's been good to me this preparation, but I'm taking him on here.
All right, so the 5 and the 1, Holbein, who you continue to stick fat with every time it goes around $17. SMS, the guys were so happy to get a horse that they named it Pig in Mud, as in happy as a pig in mud. Thank you for RSN listeners. So there's good context for that one there as well.
There you go.
SMS question, would you rather take 260 Tomorrow Grinzinger Ali or 230 Quantum Mechanic?
Quantum Mechanic, third up, ready to peak. Right,
at the shorts. Most talked about horse tomorrow and the most anticipated runner will be Heart of Puissance, $2.90.
Yes.
Dave Eustace just gave a little bit of caution to punters, saying that we know he's got the ability. He's probably racing like a stayer. We haven't seen him training like a stayer. We haven't seen him back in work. He's got the fitness to win. But whether he'll be able to win first up is another question. And he said he wouldn't take 290.
Okay, fair enough. There's enough speed in this race, even if he's racing like a stayer, to bring him into the race at the right time. His league's better than this quality of horse, but he's had setbacks since that really good first preparation way back when. Yeah, he needs to probably win another race and show that he's still capable of being better than a benchmark horse on an off-season Saturday race. So I'll agree there. 290, it's a question of whether you want to back his class in or whether you want to see that as, you know, a little bit of value, you know, for a horse of his quality, Group 2 placed in this sort of lineup. I don't think he's a one out by any stretch. I think Bell's Innocent. He's going really well. Francis Finnegan's got this horse flying. Really unlucky Wodonga first up. Great win at Wodonga second up. And then should have been right there in the finish with Indispensable at Lakeside last time. He's been underestimated in the market. Heart of Fasance goes in. And the other one I'm putting in is War Critic. He is going fairly well. I liked that win last time. And he beat a next start Mooney Valley winner. So the form's standing up a little bit there. And at least there's winning form around some of these benchmark races, which I think is a plus at this time of year. 1-2-10 for the quaddie, 2 on top.
1-2-10-4 for the quaddie. Dean Lester this morning gave Translator a really good chance. Mm-hmm. They all come through that same race at Sandown around about $13. What about you?
If you want to throw in a Dean Lester pick at $13 with the blinkers on again, you should probably be doing that.
All right, so quaddie numbers, 1, Bell's Innocence, Innocent, which is still $18, a big price.
Crazy, that is a ridiculous price.
Well, opened
ridiculous.
Up $26.
Ridiculous price, utterly ridiculous.
Heart of Puissance, the 10, which is War Critic, and the 4 is...
No, 4. We'll get rid of 4. We'll put in... No, 1-2-10 for the quaddie. As in for the quaddie.
Right, yeah. 1-2-10. And if you want to put another one in, 12 Translator in the third leg of the quaddie. All right.
Mm.
This could be one of the toughest of the day. The market says it is. 550 the field with not enough effort. China Affair. I did it for love at $6. Have you got one? Fine Dane. Good push from Johnny Maloney. $10.
Fine Dane definitely goes into the quadrella. I thought not enough effort. After he hinted in jump outs that he was back to his best showed, he was probably near it. First up, I did it for love, as I declared, by leaving him out of the quaddie. It was an absolute morale, and he duly won and ruined my quaddie. I think they're both in the game. Fine Dane, we mentioned. Others that I'll be putting in, Propel. Right down the bottom, number 14, old mate Sapphire Crown. Good first prep. Con Little can find a horse that goes through the grades. I just thought she did enough in those 1,100 meter races last time around, you know, with some decent sort of form references to benchmark 70 grade, to say that she might kick on a little bit this time around. So she's going in as well while fresh. Quaddie numbers 1, 3, 5, 7, 14. I did like Flowstar, but she's obviously out and going to that Adams Stakes on Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. All right, so 1, Fine Dane, 3, which is... what is?
I Did It For Love.
I Did It For Love, the favourite. The 5, Not Enough Effort. 7, Propel, who always is around the mark first up. And 14, which is Sapphire Crown in the last leg of the quaddie. So it's not an overly big quaddie today. 1, 2, 4, 7 first leg, 1 and 5 second leg, 1, 2, 10, maybe the 12 if you want to add another in the third leg, and then we come home on 1, 3, 5, 7 and 14. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Sharky's best bets at the Valley tonight. He's best at Sandown. Maybe we'll get a little multi and an out wide tip as well.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Time to have a quick look at the Valley tonight, Sharky. A lot of chatter about the Australia Stakes. Unfortunately, just a field of 6. Viridine's out to $1.90 now. And speaking to Trent Langscale, he said there is a chance you could get black figures for the Cummings Galloper. Would you back Viridine tonight in the Australia Stakes if you could get even money?
Nope. Jury is out with me anyway around the Valley. Viridine, he's been there twice. One was in a group one, he wasn't too bad. The other, he was plain. I'm not taking odds on or anything under, so I'd need 250 at least.
In that field?
Yeah, it's a... well, he's no better than a listed group three class horse. That's basically what this race is. It's the worst group two I've ever seen in my life. It's horrendous. It's a listed race. That's what this race is. And that's what Viridine is, listed Group 3 class horse. So he's no better or worse than any of these, and you're asking to take $1.90? Please, leave me out of that. Tavasan and Jamie Carr control the speed here, and that is an interesting scenario. He has paid for some consistency in the last 12 months with weight in, you know, open handicap sort of grade. The Pakenham run going back early December, he had 60 kegs. It was really tough. Christmas Stakes, 59.5. He's not good enough to give Pandemic 3.5 kilos. I thought he was okay in that race. Really good at the track and distance. Yep, he's good enough for me here at, what, $5 or $6? But it's a terrible race.
He's been well backed. He's into 440 now, Tavasan.
Terrible race. Yuck.
Yeah. All right, so the Australia Stakes is not to your liking tonight. Is there a race that you do want to play? Is there a horse that you like tonight?
Yeah, there is. Race 1, playoffs. Goes forward. It'll be right up on speed. Really hard to beat. Yeah, it's got weight, but do you want to back Coin Collector off its last start to beat it? I don't think so. Playoffs for me. The other one here... the other race, rather, is race 7. I'm going to back 2 horses. One of them is Amalfi Spritz. Really, really liked its recent jump out. I thought it looks like it's come on a little bit since its first prep. And I'll be backing it and Zesty Bell. The penny looks to have dropped there with Zesty Bell. She's always been spruiked as if she had better than average talent. We might be starting to see it now.
Gee, you're taking on the Big Easy. And Dave Eustace with a 2-bet strategy, Zesty Bell and Amalfi Spritz up against the Big Easy.
Well, I'm with Big Dave in race 1 with playoffs. So, you know.
You are. All right, so that's the only 2 plays tonight at the Valley?
Yeah, they're the only 2.
Only 2. All right. What's your best tomorrow at Sandown?
Tomorrow at Sandown, Quantum Mechanic / Grinzinger Ali / the Adelaide horse, second slip. I'll be backing all 3 of those.
And a nice little 3-leg multi.
Yeah, and if you want a little cheeky one out wide. Now, this is from a friend of mine known only as Curtly, and it's not Ambrose, but he's just as lethal bowling these in on a Friday. So his Friday specials, Canterbury Race 6, number 8, Super Effort. I don't know what prices these are. These are just on text.
Race
and Mornington
6,
race
8.
2. Yeah, Canterbury
on,
race 6, number 8.
These.
Okay.
Race 6, number 8, Super Effort is scratched.
Oh, Curtly, what are you doing, brother? Start, I'll give you a moment on radio. I'll give you a time to shine, and you're giving me stuff that's out. That's no good. He's got another one, though. Curtly. If this is scratch, yeah. Curtly's banned for life. Mornington Race 2, number 7.
Mornington Race 2, number 7. Lena's Magic. It is the $2.15 favourite. So,
oh, gee, Curtly. Thanks for the value there, Curtly. I can't give you anything from Queensland this week because the boxer is on assignment on an oil rig off Papua New Guinea, so we won't have anything from him for a couple of weeks. And that is a fact.
Well, he almost got sent there after the last tip he gave us. So the boxer needs a couple of weeks to regroup. So we wish him... No wonder he's called Boxer if he's working on oil rigs outside.
He's really looking forward to the 2 weeks quarantine when he returns as well, I might say that.
Oh, dearie mate. Sharknado, best of luck. 6/2 venues is what you have predicted. So you've got two that you like tonight at Moonee Valley, and then you need to get 4 at Sandown tomorrow. We'll be keeping count. Have a good weekend.
Oh, no. You too. See ya.
Sharknado Friday form focus. We'll put all his tips, all of his quaddie numbers out on social media and on rsn.net.au. Quick break, more winners after this.